Welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we'll be talking through some handpicked events and anniversaries that are coming up around the world this week that we think you ought to know about. If you're new here, thank you so much for joining us. And please don't forget to subscribe, like, and leave a comment if you're watching on YouTube. You can also watch on X or via Spotify and other podcast platforms. Now, let's get straight into it, starting with Monday, the 8th of April, 2024. Now, Afshin, first up on Monday, it's the start of a two-day hearing at the International Court of Justice, or the World Court, as it's also known, in a case brought, interestingly, by the Latin American nation Nicaragua against Europe's most powerful country, Germany, over Gaza. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with this one. Now, Nicaragua has accused Germany of facilitating genocide by providing political, financial, and military support to Israel. Obviously, Germany denies it. Now, I feel like this case is a strange one, Afshin. It's not been given the coverage that the South Africa case against Israel has been given. But it also seems kind of surprising, a Latin American country against Germany, which hasn't been a country certainly at the forefront of criticism on Gaza like the US and the UK has. So why is it Germany specifically that's been dragged to the World Court, not along with the US and the UK?
Sign of power from the Americas that Nicaragua, with that terrible history of U.S. destabilization, the U.S. death squads of the 1980s, that is getting its own back on. Is Germany a country? It's just a U.S. proxy. And Germany has been hugely criticized around the world, not only for its massive support of Zelensky in the proxy war against Russia with all their armaments and the Luftwaffe and all of that. It's also hugely supportive, of course, of the genocide in Gaza. But, you know, you wouldn't think that in the New York Times. New York Times is just going, Israelis ask if Netanyahu is dragging out the war. Some think their leader is prolonging the conflict so he can stay in power. You know, the World Court is on trial. I mean, what has it actually done? It's plausible genocide. Great. What's it actually doing about it? The World Court is a disgrace, no matter how many plaudits those supporting Palestine claim. I mean, it's not doing anything. And I should just say, it is the anniversary of the START Treaty. 14 years since the U.S.-Russia START Treaty aimed at reducing nuclear weapons. Joe Biden's proxy war on Russia through Ukraine, let alone his support for Israel. We heard the cabinet ministers talking about the use of nuclear weapons in the early stages of this recent developments in the 50-year on war on Palestine by proxy powers. Nuclear war has never been nearer, if you look at NATO nation media. And it was only the other day, very little talking about this, that Zelensky forces, the proxy forces, attack the nuclear reactor in Europe, the largest nuclear reactor in Europe, the Zaporizhia reactor. I don't suppose these NATO powers that are supporting Israel at the World Court will think that there'll be blowback of radiation maybe this week.
Well, on that power plant, it is suspected Ukraine, right? I mean, Ukraine says it's Russia. Russia says it's
hardly going to be Russia blowing up the reactor in its its control, so it blows back onto Russia.
Yeah.
Zelensky, obviously desperate.
Yeah. Well, we don't know exactly who did it, but yes, that is suspected. But you're right, there have been several attacks on that power plant, of course. It's not yet caused a disaster, at least at the time of us filming this, but certainly a big danger surrounding that. But yeah, I'll just quickly add as well on the World Court. Of course, interesting, I think, though, that Nicaragua isn't bringing the US into this, because if you remember, Nicaragua did take the US to the World Court over the sort of war in the 90s. And the US was found to have breached international law by supporting a rebellion, the Contras, which was during and after the Cold War, up until 1990.
A scandal involving Iran, one should remember, and a scandal involving the CIA bringing drugs into the inner cities to destroy civil rights movements in the United States by slaughtering civilians with the death squads in Nicaragua. And did it win? Anyway, did it win?
Yeah, well, the
in the world
US lost, so the US was found to have breached international law. So I'm surprised that they're not including the US in with Germany at the ICJ.
You've covered, you see, Elliot Abrahams and the El Salvador dirty war there. So, I mean, El Salvador is not bringing anything because it's sort of allied to the US. But yeah, as you make out, so they won. But what did the US do? Does it paying billions of dollars of reparations to Nicaragua? No, it is sanctioning the Ortega government in Nicaragua. So it's just continuing to punish Nicaragua.
Yeah, and this is very much the problem, as we know, with the World Court. It's very much rhetoric without any action whatsoever. So countries get away with doing these things.
It's so all these neoliberal countries have, though. And anyone who believes in vestiges of a rule-based order, all they have is this bizarre court in The Hague, which is the subject of the U.S. Act regarding the invasion of Holland, should U.S. personnel ever be convicted. I notice, so Berlin just stands accused, but presumably they're not going to do anything about it. I see Borrell, the EU foreign minister, is doing something on Monday. What's he doing?
He's going to be holding a press conference in Brussels. He's a busy man. We often talk about him. He's going to be with the Operation Upsides commander on restoring maritime security and freedom of navigation in the Red Sea. Now, we know the Red Sea has been kind of a battle area since the start of the war. The year, really. Kind of side war in parallel with the one going on in Gaza. And just on Sunday, actually, the Houthis in Yemen did
something. Ansar Allah, isn't that their real name? They're not called the Houthis except by those just report from US propaganda. I noticed developing world people call it Houthis as well. Yeah. The Houthis. It's like calling the American army the Bideners or something, I think.
No, that's right.
Well, it's a way of insulting them in international media.
Well, for the people listening who might only know them as the Houthis, this is for you. But they have said that they've launched rockets at the US, the British and Israeli ships over the weekend.
But we've got to remember, this has all started because Yemen forces said, we have to support the civilians of Gaza and we've got to do something about it. So we'll have an embargo like the United States has against Nicaragua, against Russia, against, I don't know, a third of the world in the form of its sanctions. So Yemen said, look, we'll just have this, a peaceful, no one was killed or anything. Britain and the United States responded by aerially bombarding Yemen, which is the subject of sanctions, which is the at risk of major famine. I mean, there is a famine there, in a sense, in Yemen. They didn't care. Instead of Britain and the United States pouring food into that country, they poured in explosives to mass murder people. By collateral damage, presumably. So Yemen have now upped the response. And I heard the other day the United States is saying, please, Yemen, if you promise not to do that again, we won't airstrike you again. Because, of course, Yemen, like Afghanistan, one could say, could defeat the United States like a stroke if it went not just for cargo ships that are linked to Israel, the United States and Britain, the belligerents supporting the genocide, but went for all of global shipping because the world economy would collapse.
And I highly doubt Borrell at the EU in this press conference on Monday is going to be able to do anything about it.
He just thinks they're the jungle, doesn't he? Famously says everyone outside who's not white and European and presumably an aid worker in Gaza is a person from the jungle.
Yes, well, I'm sure we're not going to see much from that. But meanwhile, on Monday as well, the World Health Organization Director General and UN Human Rights Commissioner are meeting to talk about advancing human rights for health during global crises, emergencies and conflicts as they mark the 75th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the World Health Organization. Again,
75. Last week you were talking about 75 years in the NATO, war promoting NATO. It's funny how it's both 75 years of that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was going to make the same comparison, but you did it there for me. So again, don't really know what that's going to achieve.
I do know that to celebrate the 75 years, NATO continues its celebrations by a military drill threatening Russia, Iran, and China called Defender Europe 24. And it marks 11 years since NATO nations arguably founded ISIS-Daesh to overthrow the Syrian government, another failure of British and American policy as it backed Islamists to cut people's throats.
Oh, okay.
ISIS-Daesh, of course, supposedly behind a Crocus attack atrocity in Moscow, though it's funny how ISIS are just appear on standby whenever the United States wants to hurt its so-called enemies. And, of course, I knew you were going to mention this, so I'll mention it first. Yellen, who was the head of the Fed, now the Treasury Secretary, she's in Guangzhou. Mm. I noticed this Japanese newspaper, Biden poised to warn Beijing against aggressive tactics in South China Sea. The Financial Times, i.e., propaganda free sheet from US proxy Japan, saying Biden's going to warn, what is China doing anywhere near the South China Sea? Do you think when they write that, the writers don't think, hang on a minute, China must be near the South China Sea. It must be nearer the South China Sea than the United States is. Who the hell is Biden to warn China about the South China Sea?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Japan, of course, later on in the week, Japan and the US are having their own little meeting, aren't they? But on that note, though, I'll just move on to Tuesday as we move on for time.
Tuesday. This is tomorrow's news today, of course. If you're watching on Monday.
Yeah, so on Tuesday, of the news that you won't be hearing about in the mainstream, perhaps, are two quite noteworthy US Senate committee hearings. One is that there'll be a hearing on the US defense budget request for 2025. Obviously, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin will be a witness there. Now, $849.8 billion. What do you think that is? Well, that is the requested budget
For 2025. Food.
Unfortunately not. It is the defense budget, US defense budget for 2025. We know the US spends more on defense than any other country in the world, although there aren't many countries.
Defense? Is it really defense?
Well, offense.
Offense. The opposite of defense. Yeah.
Well, I would say, though, there aren't many countries in the world who are feeling particularly friendly towards the US right now and vice versa. So perhaps they need this money. Who knows?
Surely ordinary Americans, 40 million of whom need federal aid to eat, would rather have the money so that ordinary Americans... Why do they defend ordinary Americans? I noticed this just came up, if you're watching on Monday, that Lord Cameron, the unelected British Foreign Secretary, who was once Prime Minister, is racing off to meet Blinken. So this is happening while the Raytheon contractor Lloyd Austin, who has cancer, went AWOL from the Pentagon, will be at this congressional hearing you speak of. What's Cameron doing there with Blinken, associating the conservative government in Britain with the genocide Joe government in Washington in some sort of horrible satanic embrace of death as the bombs ring out in Rafah? Because on Sunday night, as NATO propaganda media was announcing the withdrawal of some troops, the retreat of some Israeli troops ahead of perhaps much worse to come, there were explosions in Rafah, aerial bombardment with British and American weapons on the poor Palestinian civilians of southern Gaza.
Yeah, and Cameron, of course, who hasn't yet spoken on arms to Israel, which, as we know in the UK, there's increasing talks and calls for the UK to stop sending weapons to Israel. I know Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, has come
Dubai,
out.
Anti-Semites.
Well, there's been like several hundred legal experts who have written an open letter, haven't they? I know Boris Johnson, the former Prime Minister, has denounced that letter, as has Rishi Sunak, who has said we will continue to send arms to Israel. And Lord Cameron has remained, as of now, quiet on the matter, but there have definitely been increasing calls by conservatives.
Well, they're hiding the legal advice, aren't they? Some other cabinet minister. They're all failures of so many years, these bad bunch, arguably serving under Sunak, who is never elected by popular vote to be prime minister of Britain in any case.
Well, we've had three British prime ministers since the last election.
Yeah.
Almost one third
advice. So this is going to be a thing that all Western European governments do, hide the legal advice as European Union nations, Britain, the United States are pouring in these weapons. Biden last week going, yeah, I don't like what Netanyahu is doing. And then sending in those massive bunker buster type bombs that are huge, used for landscapes and caves in Afghanistan rather than hugely concentrated urban dwelling spaces, which is, of course, why so many people have been killed because of all of this. USAID, was that the other congressional testimony you were going to look at? Samantha Power, the horrific US official responsible arguably for millions killed in all these recent US wars in the past decade or so. She's now heading USAID, which is the proxy organization to destroy democracy all around the world. USAID permeates places that the Americans want to destroy for their own purposes, and has schools and newspapers and all sorts of different quasi-democratic sounding institutions, which are in fact used to propagandize and kind of control the minds of people in countries all over the world under the guise of humanitarian aid to stop them from having sovereignty, arguably. But it is the 32nd anniversary of the conviction of the Panamanian Noriega, the drug dealer who got out of hand and didn't follow CIA orders as well on Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this as well, Afshin. Two cases as part of the European Court of Human Rights on Tuesday. For one, it's going to be handing down its judgment in a case brought by the Eastern European country and former Soviet member Georgia against Russia. Now, this is regarding...
Which court is this?
European Court of Human Rights, which I know you love, Afshin, and you respect them highly.
What is the Europe? How can Europe have a Court of Human Rights while Western... And it means Western Europe. Obviously, Russia is in... Oh, so Russia is part of Europe in that case, although it's sanctioned. How can there be a Court of Human Rights in Europe when European nations are arming the genocide?
Yeah, and I'm sure
in West Asia.
I'm sure you could bet quite easily on which side the court is going to vote in favour for. But I'll just quickly explain what this case is over. And it's regarding a long-time border dispute. So it will basically be this judgment would be to sort of administer the boundary lines effectively between a Georgia-controlled territory and the self-proclaimed independent breakaway states, if you like, Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Georgia wants them back, of course, but these are two separate...
Well, does Georgia want them back, or does a small elite in Georgian society that are in the pay of USAID, which I just mentioned, who want Georgia to become a proxy satellite as part of the NATO encroachment on Russia that Ukraine represents?
I'm sure
hopefully ordinary Georgians are going to look at what's happened to hundreds of thousands of dead Ukrainians and think they don't want that in Georgia,
yeah,
do they?
And of course, this is quite a long history because South Ossetia, for example, had a referendum in 1992 which voted in favour of independence but wasn't recognised internationally, of course. And I'll just say as well, these two states are only recognised as being independent by just five UN members. That's Russia, Nicaragua, Syria, Venezuela, and Nauru.
But Nauru did it.
Nauru.
I thought Nauru was like another one of these Pacific islands that normally follows Washington's
It is
ideas.
One of the five members. But yeah, of course...
Russia's not doing very well there then, is it? It should have a little bit, few more members of the UN global community than those, great as those are in terms of fighting against genocidal countries. Surely.
Yeah.
Anyway, also Tuesday, Genocide Joe recorded an interview for the propaganda station Univision, owned by some oligarch, I think. It's going to be broadcast on Tuesday. Presumably he's going to be saying, vote for me, Trump is a racist in November. This is the more important thing. And the interview, I haven't seen the interview yet. People can write under this YouTube video about what they thought. But I don't think the host is going to ask about Nazis in Ukraine, ISIS in West Asia, and personal funding from those associated with the genocide.
Did you ever watch his musical event that he had last week that we were talking about?
Radio City Musical.
With Obama and Clinton?
With the genocidal comedian, Stephen Colbert. What What a catastrophe. Lizzo, I think, resigned and said she'll never appear again. That's one way of doing it. I love the demonstrations, though, and all these neoliberals walking out in their fancy clothes being told that they are, and who think that they're very liberal for human rights and so on, being almost shocked and surprised. Wait, I support genocide? Who knew that? Colombia and Venezuela peace talks on Tuesday. I think that's all week as part of the Biden attempt to reinvigorate some sort of killing in that region of Latin America.
Yep. And speaking of Biden on...
Oh, Lavrov in China as well. That's come up. But I mean, I don't know whether you want to mention that for Wednesday as well.
Well, he'll be visiting or... I mean, he visits everywhere.
It's an important meeting, though, I think, because China, they say, is going to move even closer to Russia's view about the genocide in Gaza, let alone ongoing de facto support from China, showing that most people in the world support Russia's side in the... a catastrophic Ukraine proxy war.
I'm sure. Well, on Wednesday as well, and speaking of Biden, I'm sure you've seen he's going to be hosting Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. Now, dare I say it, Japan, I would say, is a relatively quiet player on the global stage, isn't it?
Not in Okinawa.
Well, we certainly don't hear too much about it in the media.
I'm showing this paper. Why don't they talk more about Japan in this paper? Of course,
it's interesting because Japan is a strong ally of the US, and we don't hear a lot about what Japan thinks on these conflicts currently going on. But we do know, I think, overall, they're supportive of Israel. They're supportive of Ukraine in Russia. They have condemned Houthi attacks in the Red Sea. So that gives you an idea of where its friends are.
Al-Ansara.
I'm waiting for you to say that.
Well, it isn't a country, is it? It has occupying troops in Okinawa. There have been cases of US soldiers raping Japanese women in Okinawa. It's a completely servile. There was no need for Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I noticed Oppenheimer didn't go into that, the Academy Award-winning film, because Japan had been defeated. It was just to show Japan, which, of course, is a hugely powerful economy, that they must follow U.S. orders. They're a completely servile state that don't deserve the name Japan. They should be just a state of the United States, arguably. What is Fumio, the prime minister, going to be saying except taking orders? But I should say that there are huge economic problems in Japan. So maybe Japan may turn eventually against the U.S. policy of forcing Japan to hate its neighbor in that region, China.
Well, of course, though, Japan is one of the most technologically advanced militaries in the world, or at least in the top 10. So this is a good one for the U.S. to keep on side, arguably, isn't it? Perhaps that's why they're grooming them, if you like, or, you know, lobbying in some way.
I don't think China seems to be making much headway with trying to force Japan to realize there is a new global order. I presume it will be the economy that changes it. I mean, I mentioned this Japanese newspaper. It says, "Is Japan's economy turning normal at last?" That's the front page of Monday's Financial Times. So clearly they're trying to spread propaganda that Japan is out of its economic turmoil. It's clearly not. It's self-sanctioning through its support for the proxy war in Ukraine. You know, are we going to go to Wednesday? Or is
there
more?
There's more.
Are we on Wednesday? I didn't even realize we were on Wednesday. Well, then why didn't you mention the anniversary of the murder of Mexican Emiliano Zapata? You've not seen the Marlon Brando film.
Well, perhaps I haven't got through all of them yet, Afshin. We do these things. Well, why didn't you tell us about that then?
I do think, you know, over the weekend, in a horrific echo of the Julian Assange case, the Ecuador, which is not a country, either. It's a CIA
base. You've just named three countries today. It's not countries. Germany,
not really,
Japan,
are they?
I mean, when is a country?
Ecuador is just a CIA base. And they went in and grabbed from the Mexican consulate or embassy in Quito a person who'd sought asylum there, breaking the Vienna Conventions. I mean, Ecuador was out of control. It's about time some of those countries do something about it. I think, don't you think? I mean, anyway, ongoing talks all all week between Colombia and Venezuela. Maybe they can talk about trying to get Ecuador in line. And maybe AMLO from Mexico will remember what Zapata said before he was killed by U.S.-linked forces in the Mexican Revolution and realize the important thing now is to fight against those Yankees north of the border. And I should say, it's the anniversary of the U.S. bombing of North Vietnam with the B-52 bombers. That won't be mentioned by Fumio Kishida at all, I don't think. Japan is supplying the components for the genocide in Ukraine, in Gaza. That won't be mentioned, will it?
No, probably not. But I do just want to mention as well, quickly on Wednesday, NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg, obviously NATO celebrating its 75th anniversary, as we said last week, is meeting with the newest president of one of the newest NATO members, and that's President Alexander Stubb of Finland.
Oh, not Finland again. Finland is getting so boring. What happened to Nokia phones? It's like a Nokia phone that you found, isn't it? Finland, another proxy state. And another proxy state, South Korea. Holding parliamentary elections. I bet you're going to talk to me about that.
They are, but I just want to actually get your opinion, actually, on Alexander Stubb. He's only been president for the last month, but he actually said in the last few hours, you may have seen him on CNN, saying that he thinks Trump, who has obviously been critical of NATO and the money that European nations put into it, he said he actually agrees that Trump is right in pushing European states to increase their expenditure on NATO, but he sees how important the US is for the alliance and how important NATO is for the US in remaining a major player on the world stage. What do you think of this guy, Stubb?
Okay. Is he actually being paid by the weapons companies slaughtering and murdering and injuring and killing the civilians of Gaza? Because that sounds like it. He's obliquely saying Trump is right, but at the same time, obviously saying the Finnish population who we were talking about the other week about whether they're really as happy in the happiness index that they say. Finnish, you know, other dishwasher brands of detergent are available, is all I can say about Finland and the Finnish people that are clearly being drawn into front line in any World War III. Microsoft is warning South Korean election is being screwed up by China and Russia and all sorts of people. And you know what, the South Korean election, some parties aren't even allowed. It's not really democratic. But remember, in the 40s, 200,000 members of the South Korean Worker Party were massacred by U.S. troops. That's what happens if you try and exercise democracy in South Korea and form a party that says it supports workers in South Korea.
Yeah, I mean, it is a bit complicated. I mean, Kishida in the U.S. Probably won't be mentioning it, just by South Korea being its neighbor through the Korea Strait, of course. But so this is going to be a parliamentary election. So it's going to vote 300-seat National Assembly, right? But this election, I think, is seen as a kind of referendum on the newish South Korean president, Yoon Suk-yeol, who won in 2022, with the narrowest margin in South Korean history, can you believe? And he knocked out the previous sort of more left-wing president, and this new guy, he brings sort of a more conservative, economically liberal agenda. So I don't know what that's going to bring. But
they're not real countries, like I said about Japan. Are there, how many occupying troops, U.S. troops, are there on South Korean land?
Yeah.
Tens of thousands? I haven't got the latest figure, but I mean, I think there are thousands of American soldiers occupying bases there near the capital. I have been to Seoul. So is it really a country? How can you be a country if you have thousands of American troops on your soil at the same time as the most powerful military country is telling you what to do?
Can I ask you, Ashwin, what is a country?
What is a country? A country, yeah. A country is one that
exercises
authority and says what it likes. Its politicians can say what they like, regardless of interference from other nations. I mean, just look at a nation like Britain. Do you think it can say anything about foreign policy without the say-so of the United States? I don't know whether the French Prime Minister, who visits on Wednesday Canada, Gabriel Attal, whether he can really say anything against U.S. policy or against... do you think this French PM on Wednesday will even mention that the entire Canadian Parliament applauded the Nazi SS involved in the killing of 6 million Jews in Europe? No. Apparently killing 6 million Jews in Europe is absolutely fine if you're a Canadian parliamentary member or a French prime minister.
Well, obviously that was a big controversy at the time, and they did
apologize in hindsight.
But you still haven't told me that, Afshin. So you said, what is a country? Can you give me an example of a country?
Cuba. Completely sovereign, independent. No, of course, there are lots of them. I mean, think of the countries that exercise complete sovereignty. I don't think China and Russia are even allied officially, are they? They're best of friends. They support each other, but they'll work out for their own interests, for the people. The United States, does it look after the tens of millions in poverty? I think it's an issue that is very timely, Millie, actually. We're going through tomorrow's news today here. Wednesday is the 99th anniversary of The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, which so many people say is about the American dream, nationhood, and of course the tragedy of the American dream. Although if you get taught it at school, they try and make out it's some kind of pro-American dream novel, tragedy, but kind of romantic. Scott Fitzgerald was a neo-Marxist, if you ask me, and you can
I wrote my dissertation on The Great Gatsby.
Oh, really? And I bet your dissertation didn't include the famous letter he wrote to his daughter, I think, when she was quite young, saying, read Das Kapital by Karl Marx. I think that is in there in Gatsby.
I think I compared it to Freudian psychology somehow and linking it to the death drive.
Trying to make it all psychological when it's clear this is about class conflict. The girls from a different class to poor old Gatsby, who I think sympathized with the Nazis, didn't he?
Well, I didn't know the Nazis existed back in the 20s, did they? 20? Not in the way we know
them. Proto-Nazis, wasn't it? Yeah, fascist, World War I type Germans.
Gatsby is a fictional character.
We better speed up.
I feel we digress. Let's go on to Thursday. Let's see what the news won't be talking about in mainstream media. On Thursday, Joe Biden is hosting, off the back of his visit by Khashoggi. He's hosting.
I think it is. It's Marcos from the Philippines just arrived, actually. Sorry.
Thursday, the Trilateral Summit. He's going to be hosting Japanese Prime Minister, of course, and the Philippines leader.
Is the Philippines a nation? It just opened up its U.S. base again.
I think we've just clarified the only three countries in existence are China.
Most of the countries that vote the right way at the UN. Tell me if it's a country if it votes against the U.S. at the UN.
Okay. Well, I don't think any of these are countries either then. So while this summit is going on, you've probably seen the Three Seas Initiative summit also on Thursday, which is a forum of 13 states in the EU.
Which 13?
Which includes Austria, Bulgaria, Croatia, the Czech Republic, Estonia, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Romania, Slovakia, and Slovenia.
I talked over you. Go ahead.
Hungary. Well, I read the list out. I'm not going to repeat the list.
And it's based in Lithuania, and it's just like trying to attack Russia and foment World War III. It's a US CIA cutout organization. Why is it called Three Seas anyway? Is it like,
Well, it's the seas from like that run through like the Baltic and the, I don't know exactly how it works on the map, but they're connected.
Childlike.
But I tell you what, though, Afshin, I bet the Trilateral Summit nor the Three Seas Initiative Summit will be talking about Julian Assange, because, of course, on Thursday, it's 5 years to the day WikiLeaks Julian Assange was arrested at the Ecuadorian embassy in London after living there for 7 years.
Because the London police, according to British authority reports, are the institutionally corrupt and institutionally racist. Assange is white, so maybe they can be cleared on that one. And they dragged him out of the Ecuadorian embassy after the CIA-backed arguable coup or cleverly placed destruction of Ecuadorian sovereignty, and dragged him out. And now we know that previously those same authorities in Britain were planning with the United States to kill the greatest journalist of our time, Julian Assange, who revealed war crimes of NATO nations, at maybe an airport involving gun chases and something out of Mission Impossible.
Well, it's certainly been something that the lawyers have put forward in this case, hasn't it? And if you're watching or listening and you're not updated, are you still waiting to find out whether he's going to be extradited to the US on espionage charges? And it was only a few days ago, wasn't it, Afshin, that the UK judges ruled that Assange could go to an appeal court to avoid extradition only if the Biden administration could give assurances that they will give him a fair trial under the First Amendment that a lot of people think he won't get, and then it's effectively going to be a kangaroo court, if you like. But his fate still remains very much uncertain, doesn't it, all these years later?
Well, it's a slow motion execution because he was, of course, tortured by the British state after that kidnapping, according to UN Special Rapporteur Nils Melzer. And the idea that a country like Britain, which is involved in what the World Court calls plausible genocide, even the World Court calls plausible genocide, how would anyone believe that that court in Britain, the High Court, is a just court in a just nation? If anyone supports Assange in the United Kingdom, surely the best way would be to break him out of the supermax prison that he's incarcerated in and not trust those courts one bit. We now know that all those people associated with this case, as regards judges and prosecutors, are friends and part of the establishment, that they themselves are linked with the crimes that Julian Assange exposed. It's a terrible, terrible fate. And of course, we'll always be covering it, won't we, Millie? Because you know, we've covered him in the past. It's actually the anniversary of the Civil Rights Act, giving limited rights to black people in the United States under LBJ. Isn't it funny that the IMF, which Julian Assange exposed as well in WikiLeaks documents, the boss of that, Kristalina Georgieva, is going to be announcing more dictation to Global South countries on Thursday as well?
It is. It is. But we are short for time, so let's move on to Friday now. Something that's probably going to go a bit under the radar, I imagine. At the Hague Court of Appeal on Friday, there's a hearing on the final day of arguments in a challenge that was brought by the London-based oil company Shell against a 2021 judgment which ruled in favour of an order by environmental groups to cut its CO2 emissions by 45%. And Shell is saying it doesn't want to do this. I'll add, Shell is the leading gas company in the UK as of this year, and it made its highest ever profit in its 115-year history.
Yay!
With, can you guess? Can you guess how much?
What? Profit? The amount of fossil fuel gas or whatever.
It was $39.9 billion it made in 2022, which is a 53% increase from the previous year, although the profits have now dropped as of 2023 to a measly $28.25 billion there. But that's going to be going on at the Hague Court of Appeal on Friday. Also,
Shell, of course, famous, I mean, for our Nigerian viewers, for involvement or links to the murder of Nigerian poet Ken Sarawiwa in the Niger Delta. Absolutely appalling actions of Shell, which I think they paid out of court settlements too. Always got to be careful with Shell. They own governments, they own courts, they own litigation. They never have ever done anything wrong. And Marilyn Monroe in Some Like It Hot famously wanted to marry someone to do with Shell. So, you know, we mustn't insult them, Millie.
I was going to say, they'll deny it because we don't want to be sued. I've not got $40 billion, so.
And Shell Oil, if you watch them on television, they care so passionately about climate change. That's what I heard. You know, a lot of these companies, Shell was obviously hugely subsidized by the U.S. state, massively. They were funded by, Shell was funded hugely by the U.S. state in many ways. And today's companies, a lot of them made their money out of drug dealing in China, the opium situation as British and American companies. Friday is the anniversary of the 27 Shanghai massacre when Chiang Kai-shek executed members of the Communist Party in Shanghai. It'll be remembered, of course, in China, what the now NATO nations did to the massacre, to the people of China. Communist Party not doing so badly in China after bringing out 800 million out of poverty, according to Washington figures.
That's right. I just want to add very quickly on Friday that the EU Economic Financial Affairs Council will be meeting to talk about the economic and financial impact of the war in Ukraine. Now, the Eurozone was reported to only very narrowly miss a recession at the end of last year. Germany is stagnating. The economy really hasn't shown much sign of life, has
we
it?
We believe these figures, don't we? They wouldn't mess up the figures, would they?
What's that?
They wouldn't be massaging those figures, would they? To make it just on the cusp, not recession yet.
Technically, it was effectively in a recession, but it's certainly not looking good over there in Europe, or certainly the EU countries financially.
I've got a friend coming to Britain and I was ordering on a supermarket website there because this is my flatmate likes peanut butter in a particular type. The price of everything, of food, has gone up so markedly in Britain, it's unbelievable to even think of how ordinary people in Western Europe are coping. I should just say also Friday, missile defense hearing at the Armed Services Committee in Congress. That's going to be pretty depressing for the Americans. I don't think they'll be able to cover much about it because, as Russia has demonstrated, they now have a missile that the US is powerless of defending against, isn't it? The hypersonic one that Russia's been using in Ukraine. That is catastrophic for US defense. And that's on top of the fact that North Korea can just destroy LA in 30 minutes, reputedly. North Korea, because of that, a new president is automatically told that, which is why apparently Trump, when he became president, said, I've got to meet Kim Jong-un. Why is no one talking about the fact North Korea is so powerful?
Yeah.
So Friday will be a funny, tragic day for Congress. All these trillions of dollars spent on defense and they can't defend themselves.
Yeah. And just quickly on Saturday, because we better move on, there is a commemoration ceremony taking place for the 9 politicians who were killed during the 1994 Rwandan genocide as part of the 30th anniversary, which we mentioned last week. It does mark the end of their commemoration week. Obviously,
Think of all the other genocides. Wasn't it a genocide when 1 million were killed by the illegal invasion of Iraq by Britain and the United States? Clearly, it wasn't somehow. Saturday is 105 years since the Jallianwala Bagh massacre when the British army killed maybe 1,000 unarmed protesters in Amritsar. India, the largest population country in the world, will definitely be commemorating that. And there'll be a lot remembering the effects of imperialism. And of course, Rwanda was a symptom of that in terms of what Belgium and European powers did to Rwanda. I should just say also, big anniversary, a lot of anniversaries this week. 1953 launch of the CIA's mind control program, MK Ultra. People can look up my name and MK Ultra because I've done stuff on that. I don't know whether our audience have been mind controlled by drugs in the water or whatever. But anyway, the CIA did a lot of work on how to brainwash the people in the United States and in NATO countries. But then do they need to brainwash people, really? I think the elite power media people just think, you know what, just do what NATO and the CIA tells you to do and you earn a little bit more money and can feed your family and everyone's happy except the people being targeted by genocide.
Yeah, well, hopefully we're not mind controlling our audience, but I think a lot of the media are. I think you might
subscribe.
But on Sunday, I assume you're going to this, Afshin, the largest annual trade show for broadcasters, apparently the NAB show in Las Vegas. Now, that's the National Association of Broadcasters, which is a trade association and lobby group, basically, which represents radio and TV broadcasters in the US. Now, the current president and CEO of the NAB, Curtis Legate, he has said recently, the credibility of responsible fact-based journalism is under daily attack, while our society is under siege by the relentless tide of misinformation online.
He doesn't like Trump.
Yeah, which creates a double-edged sword where the simple fact of reporting the truth can often be perceived as taking a side or having bias. So don't know where that leaves us, Afshin, or where we fit in.
Why can't they realize misinformation is in the eye of the beholder? Basically, anyone saying that's misinformation, it must be stopped. Mm-hmm. is not for free speech and not for democracy. If someone says that's misinformation, let it go. Marketplace of ideas. Let's see who the public believe. That is free speech.
I guess there's a line, though, isn't there, with sort of increasing AI? And I think you referenced the war in Gaza and how misinformation spread there, when we've seen pictures and videos that have been faked.
The fake rapes, the fake beheaded babies. Yeah. Has there been any apology from the New York Times for all the lies it printed that provided cover for genocide? Have any of those editors resigned? Any of those journalists at The Guardian resigned? None of them.
Hmm. Well, this is it, though, isn't it? I mean, journalism effectively is under attack in this sense. So that's perhaps what they're going to be talking about on Sunday. And I'll just quickly add, on Sunday as well as the Writers Guild of America Awards in Hollywood, where they'll announce the winners of awards an outstanding achievement in writing for screen, television and radio. I don't think we're nominated, though, Afshin.
No, it's another proxy CIA cutout organization that collaborated with McCarthy in the end. Many of its writers, the Writers Guild, is a disgrace. And gets funding from weird association with links from those forces that provide us with genocide in West Asia, the destabilization in Central and Latin America and in Africa, and promoting the war, proxy war in Ukraine and the war against China.
Yes.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. We really better leave it there because we are making this very long, and we want everyone to stick with us here. But thank you so much for watching. You
can tomorrow's news today.
Yes, tomorrow's news today. What?
No.
Forecast news.
Forecast news. Actually, I should say I'm stopping that TNT thing because we're going to concentrate really on this one. Forecast news.
Yes.
The only place you're going to get tomorrow's news today.
Yes. So basically, all the news you're probably not going to hear about in the upcoming week, we'll tell you the news before.
Well, you might hear about it tomorrow.
By tomorrow?
Here, you'll hear about it today, here.
Yeah, exactly. Come to us first. But you can watch us on YouTube, X, TikTok, Spotify, all the major podcasting platforms. You'll be able to find us. Subscribe, like, comment. We'd love to hear your feedback and what you think on the stories we've mentioned today. But we will see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.